Time to take a look at rail safety issues in Wisconsin with Rod Kroonen, Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads. Always plenty to talk about when he stops by. And certainly if you want to join in with a question for him, I hope you do. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, reach us at 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Rod Kroonen, welcome back.
Well, glad to be here with you. A lot of train ton miles, as we'll say, have passed through Wisconsin since we've talked last. The industry is just booming, Larry.
It is. And a lot of things that we can talk about. One of the things I thought might be fun to address or interesting to address is this whole issue of quiet zones, because we get questions about that virtually every time. How many quiet zones have been established in Wisconsin? Do we have?
Well, if we were to include those in process, I would say we're close to 30. Keep in mind that in Wisconsin, we have no statutory control over that. That's strictly controlled by the Federal Railroad Administration. And our agent of change there is Tammy Wagner, just a wonderful soul. Shannon has met her on numerous occasions, and they help work through with each community. Now, some of the things that are required, of course, are full gates, constant warning time, and many times we have installed those as part of a safety program.
Mm-hmm.
I can spend none of my precious safety money for quiet zones, only for safety-related issues, but in most cases that will help them. The community then, there is a website with the FRA, mm-hmm. That's the Federal Railroad Administration, that they can go to. You can put in all your crossings, see what's needed. One of the key things, if you were to have median strips that separates it, that mm-hmm. helps tremendously. Now, many cases, you just can't put in median strips economically, so they'll go along with what are called quick curbs. Those are the 3-inch plastic tubes anchored to the ground to keep people from going around. But we are making steady progress on that because the federal law on that states that you can have a quiet zone if you have rail safely equivalent to blowing.
Wow.
And with rail traffic picking up, boy, the penetration of these whistles can be extremely strong.
Yes, they can. John in Jacksonport has a question for you, so let's go to John. John, hello.
Hey, hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Just one question, and I'll quickly hang up. I wanted this gentleman to give me an opinion in regard to the major buyout that some Canadian railway is seeking to pull off around Chicago. They've got this idea that they'll bring in freight trains galore. I have a daughter living down in one of those suburbs, Barrington, where they estimated there would be like 16 or 18 trains a day whipping through town there.
Well,
I just wanted you to speak to that a little bit.
Let's get into this. All right, the Canadian National Railroad, which over 10 years ago, purchased the Illinois Central Railroad from Chicago South. They then purchased the Wisconsin Central, which tied Chicago to Superior and their link. However, they're missing some trackage in the Chicago area, and Chicago has immense blockups. What they want to do is to move to purchase a Beltline Railroad that's been there for 125 years, the Elgin, Joliet, and Eastern. By using that trackage, that would make things flow a lot better for the whole Chicago issue and would help us in Wisconsin dramatically. Because right now, if we have blockage problems at Schiller Park, Franklin Park, anywhere along the line, like at 7 or 8 in the morning, I can tell you they rippled to Waukesha by 10 and they hit Fond du Lac by noon. This purchase makes good sense. Last Thursday, the Tribune editorialized in favor of it. Now, I know there are quite a few people concerned because there will be more traffic on the EJ&E. All right, that's the Elgin, Joliet, and Eastern, which is the Belt Railroad. Mm-hmm. However, what's very interesting, as we're looking to find ways to solve the Chicago railroad congestion problem, a group has been formed called CREATE. All right, I won't go into all the details, but it's to make flyovers, more bridges and things, and they're looking for a lot of federal money. Here we have a railroad, the Canadian National, and I have differences with them, as I do with all railroads, that is willing to spend $300 million of their own money to purchase this, another $100 million to upgrade it, and we should turn them away? No, this is good free enterprise. While I realize it may have an impact on Barrington and Barrington Hills and that, where they only have 2 to 4 trains a day, and they'll go to 16 to 18, for the good of the entire Chicago area and for the good of Wisconsin, this needs to happen. Now, separately, let's say they were turned down. They could still enter into a trackage agreement with them and run anyway.
Yeah.
But any time there is change, people are concerned. And any time there are increases in traffic, and all you need to do is look at the gas pump.
Yeah.
This will help get more trucks and trailers off the highway. Overall, the CN, Canadian National's, purchase of the EJ&E is good for Chicago. It's sure going to be good for Wisconsin, Larry.
All right. Well, let's take another call then and find out what's on somebody else's mind here. And I believe Rick is up next. So let's go to Rick. Hi, Rick in Appleton.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've listened to your show several times over the last year, at least, anyway. And I ever since I was a kid growing up in Milwaukee, right outside of Butler, walking the railroad tracks, I'd see these little purple balls. And they're made of stone or iron ore or whatever the heck they are. And I can remember picking them up, and it was a gold mine for me using my slingshot. But I always wondered what that stuff was. I'll take my answer off the air. I hope you can help me out. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's part of the ballast. And it's a purple quartzite that we call Pink Lady. If you were to go and hike around Devil's Lake, you would see a lot of that. Obviously, it can't be mined there, though some of it after World War II in the South End was, but it's mined at Rock Springs. Now Rock Springs is getting a lot of play now because there's a place where there's a sanctuary for lions and tigers and that. But the ballast pit at Rock Springs has this natural rock that can be broken up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard ballast. Very desirable, but that's what it is. But it used to only be used in the Northwestern. It's now hauled out of there by the Wisconsin and Southern. The Union Pacific owns the trackage, but it's an interesting geological anomaly along the way. But
thanks, Rick. Thank you for calling. And wait a minute. Now, when you say ballast, somebody's already going to wonder, what do you mean by ballast, or how is ballast used?
Ballast is the crushed and broken rock that the railroad ties sit in.
Okay.
And it ballasts how it holds. And by the way, they have to be at least 95% fractured faces. However, they're about 99. The last thing you'd want is rounded pebbles because it would move. And when the rain comes, it then drains away.
Sure.
It's a natural happening. And we're starting to learn that on highways also, where they'll have that underneath. See, for ages, because it was easy, we'd get limestone, railroads. The problem is limestone breaks down, and it also generates a fertilizer, and the volunteers bring seed and dirt, and pretty soon you look at old railroad beds, and you'll say, they're all blinded.
Right. Lonnie and Coleman is up next. Lonnie, hello to you.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I've got a question here. I have my back 40, the railroad crosses through, and I have property on either side of the right-of-way of the railroad, and I've been trying for about 4 or 5 years to get a private crossing put in by the railroad, and I was just wondering what the law is and maybe what I could do to get some cooperation from the railroad guys up here.
Well, first, it's Colvin, I believe. Are you Marinette County?
Yeah, it's ENLS.
Yeah, the Escanaba and Lake Superior, the old Milwaukee Road. That at one time was a very active line going straight north.
Right.
The ENLS is surviving. We hope that they can continue to survive. Now, the law, it's very murky on that, but for a agricultural crossing, I believe, all right, they need to work with you to help you establish it. All right, now you may have to enter an agreement with them with liability.
Right.
So let's say if you're on there with your tractor and you get hit, it's not their problem. It's yours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're unable to reach their management, call our office and ask for Tom Running at 608-266-7607, and he'll put you in touch with Tom Clement, who's the general manager.
So I've talked with Tom several times, and I've been passed down to another guy, and they all talk nice, and I get a lot of lip service, but I never can get anywhere with them. It just I get promises and no action. So.
Well, okay, I think you need to call our office. If necessary, we can arrange to establish a hearing to have them comply with the law.
So legally, I am entitled to one.
For agricultural usage.
Okay.
Let's say if you were to build a house or a subdivision on the other side, no.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks very much for calling.
And now, let me point up where you probably couldn't get one of those anymore. Let's say that you had one in the area of Dodge or Columbia County, an Amtrak's main line. Let me tell you, it would take an act of the Lord for you to get an agricultural crossing across that with 30, 60-mile-an-hour freight trains and two at 79. But on low-use railroads like the ENLS,
It should work.
Oh, yes.
Rod Kernan, Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads, our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking rail and rail safety issues in Wisconsin now with Rod Kernan, Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Dave in Minocqua is up with a question, so let's go there. Dave, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi. I think that previous caller might have been talking about taconite rather than the ballast from the...
Oh, well, those aren't purple balls. Those are brown.
Okay.
Yes.
But those would be better for a slingshot. That's why I was thinking of it.
Okay.
My question was about the Union Pacific. I noticed along Highway 21 the other day between Toma and Nisida.
Yes.
They put in all-welded rail. I was just wondering, are you envisioning a lot more traffic on that line now?
They are. Right at the moment, there are 4, sometimes 6 trains a day. That's the old route of the 400.
Mm-hmm.
And at Wyville, it goes north to Altoona and
right.
Eau Claire and over. That's relayed rail that's come out of the West Line near Chicago.
Oh.
All right, and they've been working on that line now since 99. In 04, they started doing 5 to 8 miles every year as this was available. Last year, they were doing things in Columbia and Dodge County.
Okay.
And we don't have a list of their capital investment for this year, but yesterday I was talking to Mike Payette, their government relations man, and they plan to get that to us. But, yes, that portion they're working on, and also they have rail ready to go in Dunn and Chippewa counties west of Eau Claire. Remember, this is all private money.
Mm-hmm. And right.
Even with used rail, they're spending $75 to $80 a foot by the time it gets installed.
Wow.
A lot of people say, what does it start if you're going to start from scratch where you need to add another track? Assuming you own the land, you're at $150 to $160 a foot now.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for calling. Tom in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
My question regards, well, my brother, he works at Wausau Steel in Wausau, and since Canadian Railroad has taken over the local lines there, they ship a lot of scrap steel to Green Bay. And what he has been complaining about to me a lot is the lack of service from the Canadian National Railway as far as not having cars available, and also sometimes they'll leave cars in the yard, and if it's on a Friday, they'll just leave, you know, at the end of the day, and they'll leave them there. And it's very, you know, it becomes a real problem for them, and it causes them to do a lot more trucking because of it. And it seems that they're not as concerned with the local services as far as much as, you know, going between Chicago and Superior and stuff. And so I guess I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that kind of thing as far as more localized shipping.
Well, we've heard these complaints before, and they're very valid. By the way, we have no statutory control on that. Wausau Steel, I believe, is on the old Northwestern line west of Wausau, and that's not too far from where the Marathon cheese truck was just cut in.
Exactly where it was.
Half and 45,000 pounds of cheese, most of it one block chunks. The driver went right in front of the train. I understand that the Wausau Steel employees were the beneficiary of that. That's a lot of cheese, by the way.
Yes, yeah. I think he did get a bag of cheese from that.
Yeah. Yes. And by the way, what is cheese at wholesale? $4 to $5 a pound?
Yeah.
45,000 pounds, that's $250,000 worth of cheese. The only thing that I can say, when they have questions like that, you can call our office, all right? We can get you in touch with some of the people at the Canadian National, and many times they'll tell me that's not in our statutory control, and I said, I understand that, but it's within Wisconsin, and so we have what's called boy talk, 3- and 4-letter words on their surface, but... part of the shortage of rail cars, certain types of cars now, plague the industry. That's no excuse. They're a common carrier, and they should be able to serve it. And the last thing we want to do is see these heavy semi-trucks full of scrap steel going over the highway.
Yeah.
You and I, as the taxpayers, suffer terribly when that happens.
Yeah.
But have them free to call their office. I talk with their top management all the time. It's not always friendly, but this is part of making things happen.
And your number was 608-266-7607.
Seven. My direct line is 608-266-3182.
3182.
Yes.
Yeah, he says that he'll call, you know, the Canadian National line that they give him customer service, and it's fully automated. It's almost impossible to get through to anyone.
Yeah.
And to get any sort of responses as far as, you know, like if they'll leave cars in the yard or not and then not move them, they can't, you know, they can never really hardly get through to anyone to even complain about anything or to get things resolved. And it seems like the service has really gone downhill since they've bought out the kind of more local lines.
Yeah. Well, 3M that we deal with has had similar problems, and that's a branch off that line. And we may encourage the Canadian National, maybe with no success, to maybe supply that line to a short line operator that could gather all the cars, take care of everything, and then deliver them to the main line on the Valley Line. There are lots of other solutions for that, but poor service sure is frustrating.
So give that give Rod a call at his office, and we'll see what we can come up with. 266-3182, 608 area.
Granted, I'm never there.
Let's go to Ron in Stoughton, I think, is next. Ron, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I love trains. I love the sound of the whistle. There's a whistle that where a train comes by through Stoughton sometime during midnight and 3 in the morning, and I can hear it from way far away. I don't know what train that is, but my questions, I guess, are like Tommy Thompson one time had something to do with Amtrak, and there was going to be a high-speed train come through Wisconsin to Washington, D.C. Whatever happened with that plan? And then the other question is, all of these tracks that have been turned into bike paths, do the railroad companies still own these? And I'll listen off the line. Thank you.
Well, first, no question, our former governor, Tommy Thompson, was strongly interested in railroads and what they did for Wisconsin. And he was an Amtrak's board of directors twice. The second time, he was forced off because you can't be another federal employee heading Department of Social Services and that. But he got things going. The engineering study to connect Milwaukee to Madison on the line that was built 1872 to 1875 has been completed at this time. They're looking for some federal funds to get this going. It's one of the key lines on Amtrak's Midwest high-speed rail program. And I must really give our current DOT Secretary, Frank Bussolacci, credit. He's now running that organization. It seems any DOT secretary, when they get into this, they begin to understand the need for rail passenger service to connect things together. The federal government at a transportation end is very short on funding. I don't know what to say on that. We need better congressional heft to get that done. Have we started to look at the crossings and the upgrades are needed? Barely. I've talked to Governor Doyle several times, and he's expressed an interest in this. I have a staff of 4.5 plus myself, and I'd have to say inspection of those crossings, because there's only 2 freight trains a week on it, is not high on our chart. Yeah. If it was, I would divert more resources, but that's a natural, because we would connect downtown Madison. You can imagine getting on a train at Camp Randall or the Kohl Center and whisking to Miller Park in Milwaukee. One of the things that we did start under Tommy, and I have to give Tommy and Senator Jeff Plaley great credit for this, and working to get the Mitchell Field Station in place. Without those two fellows and Barry Bateman at the airport, and by the way, that's now 15% of all originations and terminations on the line. It's become so popular. Hmm. Okay, now in answer to his other question, many of the rail lines that were abandoned, some of them were before rails to trails. Those may be lost. Nobody was thinking ahead at the time. In fact, while it's a long story, when I was about 30, I took an option on Elroy Kendall, Wilton Norwalk to Sparta to run as a railroad with some friends. When you're 30, you have a lot of stupid ideas. All right, we're then going to use it as a motorcycle trail. That wasn't possible. I then went to Warren Knowles, who was governor at the time, explained the need, and he arranged it so the Conservation Commission bought out what we wanted to do. $12,500, 32.2 miles, $9.78 an acre. The Conservation Commission then became the DNR, and that was the start of the bike trails. However, we have many that were abandoned, and there's a long legal procedure on that, under the rails to trail issue, that could be recovered. I'd have to tell you, once a rail line is abandoned and the bicyclists and the hikers and the butterfly boys start using it, if you wanted to put rail tracks back in,
it's not going to happen.
The opposition, it's called NIMBYism, not in my backyard, is so ferocious. It's unbelievable. Now, $3.50 a gallon gasoline may be changing people's thoughts. But it's ongoing, Larry.
Let's go to Bob in Sun Prairie next. And by the way, you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Have some open lines, and we can get you on pretty fast. Let's go to Bob now in Sun Prairie. Bob, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to know if the gentleman could tell me a good place to watch trains, you know, on a sunny day, just sit down and some town or something that has quite a few trains that go through it.
Okay, well, we have quite a few spots in that. Right in Wisconsin, if you want to go to Junction City, You have the Valley Line that crosses the old Sioux Line's main line, now owned by the Canadian National, and you'd see 25 to 30 trains a day there. Another place of great activity is Duplainville in Waukesha County. Just off I-94, you see the American TV, big store. It's right tucked up behind there. There, the Canadian National's line intersects the Canadian Pacific, the old Milwaukee Roads main line. Probably the premier spot here in the Midwest is at Rochelle, right below Rockford, the Burlington Northern Santa Fe. And for old-timers, that'd be the Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy prior to 1970. And the old Northwestern's main line, which is the Union Pacific's line, crosses, and you'll see 90 to 100 trains a day, maybe even more. And to give you an idea of the intensity on that Union Pacific line, when we were in Ames, Iowa, in August, there are 85 to 90 trains a day. Larry, there were five or six occasions throughout the afternoon where the eastbound and the westbound were jointly blocking the city.
Wow.
Yes. Look at the gas pump is what it's bringing. But those are some good spots. And then if you want to go to Prairie du Chien or Wyalusing, the BN in a hearing stated they're averaging 43 trains a day, sometimes 50 trains a day. The Burlington Northern Santa Fe, that's the railroad that Warren Buffett owns 18% of. If you notice any of the mistakes Warren has made, don't worry, nobody's found any. There's a good stock tip, the Burlington Northern Santa Fe.
Mike and Racine, it's your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi. You know, we've talked about the high price of gas and diesel and so forth. Have a little prognostication, if we could, about the possibility of getting tourist rail back the way it was in the heydays of the Laker and other trains like that, when people could, on a Thursday night or a Friday night, get a rail get on a rail car and get to the Ladysmith area or Hayward or Points North, and then be able to either rent a convenience from there or if they have lake homes or whatever. But the idea is to, with the high price of fuel, should we be thinking in the future here about getting some special excursion rails to like Ladysmith, Rhinelander, you know, the Crivitz, Marionette area, things like that. And then one last thought, taconite pellets when they're fresh, before they've had a chance to rust up, are blue-purple.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, rail passenger service. Dear to my heart, but I have to tell you, the airlines right now are learning what the railroads learned 50 to 55 years ago. Nobody makes money moving people.
No.
It's unfortunate. All right. Plus, we now have such capacity problems. If we were to drop back to the late 90s when Tommy was governor, and I recall having supper at the residence with him one night, and he said, we've got to connect the Fox Valley. Uncle Rodney, find out a way to do it. I had to tell him, Governor, that's not in the ballpark. Why? Because we just don't have the track capacity. We're 24 to 30 trains a day on that old Sioux line, and to add that in, to get the double track, get the signalization, we finally felt we could get as far as Fond du Lac, and then traffic continued to pick up, and there was just no way it could be squeezed in without an immense checkbook. In fact, Chicago's Metra, which is the nation's most successful commuter rail network, when starting in the early 90s, and it started operating in 96, when they went to add passenger service, their commuter trains from roughly Franklin Park North on the old Sioux Line, which was the Wisconsin Central, they told Glenn Kerbs, the chief engineer, this is what we want to do for the Wisconsin Central. And he said, fine, just remember it's your checkbook. $110 million later and 7 or 8 years, by 2003 and 2004, most of it was double-tracked. We've looked at it. The stations are beautiful. It's much in demand. But, of course, how did the Chicago area get the funds? Let's put it this way, Larry. They have congressional heft around the Chicago area from Mayor Daley, at that time Denny Hassert, and Missoula, and others. We just don't seem to have in Wisconsin. But the time may come where we're going to see that. But right now, our key concern is tying Madison back to Milwaukee. We don't have to buy a square inch of real estate. Isn't that unusual in a transportation project? It's going to happen. And unfortunately, the price at the pump is making more people aware of it. But right now, if you want to go into Chicago, just go to Harvard. My gosh, a $5 weekend fare. The service is superb. Chicago's metro is just booming.
Thanks again, Mike, for calling. Mary and Stoddard, it's your turn. Mary, hello.
Hi. I want to ask this question. In our small village, we have crossing gates, and I wonder why do the trains have to blow this extremely loud, long whistle? What is the significance of two long whistles, then one short, and then another long?
Wow.
And there's many trains a day, and they're very, very loud, and I just wonder why.
Well, first, the significance of two longs, a short and a long, dates to 1855. Now, contrary to what many of my nieces and my children think, I did not ride the train to Washington with Lincoln when they started blowing that. But the original reason for that was that the fellow on the wagon loaded with hay, or if he had some cattle in there, would hear it. And as he got closer, the third, the short, was to wake him up and then to blow through the crossing. All right. Federal law mandates that. If the railroads were not following that, and if there's an accident, the lawyers would be all over them, telling them, my client would surely never have hit the train or gone in front of it if they would have heard the whistle. All great. Now, Stoddard, and they have approached us. By the way, Stoddard is where the big mudslide problem hit last August, where they were shut down. I mean, on the BNSF. And you're right, you're a busy railroad, averaging 43 trains a day, sometimes 50, with a timetable speed of 60. At least they get through town pretty quick. But Stoddard could work with the Federal Railroad Administration. We can help your village administrator get in touch with the FRA, and we can arrange to meet with Tammy Wagner up there. One of my men, Tom Clowder, is our specialist on that locally. You might have some modifications to do on your crossing, and I believe you're correct. You only have that one crossing at Stoddard that goes over to the riverfront.
Mm-hmm.
But a quiet zone is achievable, but the village will need to get out their checkbook to put in some supplemental safety measures. Many smaller villages at this time, unless there's a philanthropist, choose not to.
Yeah, but it's expensive.
Yes, yeah. But the gates, everything are there, but that's a dual-track main line.
Uh-huh, sure.
It's
Well, thank you very much. I understand now about the significance of the too short, or too long, a short and a long.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And here we are, out of time. Boy, the time flew by. And do you guys have a website, by the way? I wondered if you had a website.
We do, but it only has legal documents on it.
Okay, so there's nothing on it that sort of the average person is going to gain from other...
Unfortunately not. The Federal Railroad Administration has a website that and a calculator that will help villages and cities work out their quiet zone, and we have people that go to that all the time.
Okay, so that's the Federal
The FRA.
FRA, okay.
That's right. And to get their website exactly, if they were to call the 608-266-7607, Tom Renning will supply that to you. They've been very cooperative on things. Well, I'd love to have quiet zones every place. Not only is it better for the public relations of the railroad, but it means we've got real good safety.
Thank you, Rod. Thanks very much for being with us. Rod Crunan, Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads, and I can promise we will have him back again. Coming up tomorrow, we'll take a look at a new book, or is a revised book, newly revised, called The Wolves of Isle Royale. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.